Welcome to the South Shore's Morning News Weekend Review Podcast. I'm Rob Hackelow. Listen for the next 30 minutes as we take a look back at some of the big interviews from the week on the South Shore's Morning News, which airs live weekdays from 5 to 10 a.m. In this segment, we're going to be talking about America's best-selling reference book, The World Almanac. The World Almanac has been informing, entertaining, and amusing Americans since 1868. It is the go-to guide with more than 83 million copies sold. And we're going to be talking about the 2024 edition of The World Almanac, and joining us now to dive into it all is the editor of The World Almanac, Sarah Jansen. Sarah, good morning and welcome to WATD.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's open up the World Almanac 2024 edition here. I got my copy here. And let's dive in. Sarah, what are you excited most about the latest guide?
Well, you know, the World Almanac's goal is almost always about the same. We're trying to review the events past year and also provide answers to questions on any topic in the upcoming year. So we've got you covered on everything from politics to pop culture to sports, while still providing a really great preview of what's coming up in 2024, the Olympics, the presidential election, a really cool solar eclipse. We've got you covered on all those angles.
Wow. Now, what's your favorite part, Sarah, of working? I mean, as an editor, that's going to be very exciting, challenging, obviously, to work on this book. What's your favorite parts about being an editor of the World Almanac?
You know, just the opportunity to learn something new every day, or many new things every day, depending on the day. There's a certain amount of curiosity that you have to have when you work on the World Almanac. And I'm just a person who loves to learn new things about the world, who loves to get into the data and see what, if I'm going to be surprised or maybe have my assumptions confirmed, maybe not, but there's always something new to get excited about learning and to think about how we can then interpret that information or boil it down or give it to just the essentials so we can fit it on the page of the World Almanac and make it accessible to our readers too.
Now, in addition to all the different charts and lists, you also have some colored sections in here as well, including some wonderful photographs of the world flags and some maps, right?
Yes, we've got the fantastic world maps and flags, which I find especially helpful when you're, you know, paying attention to what's going on in the news and you don't really know where something is. You can look it up really quickly right there. But there's also some fantastic color photographs that cover the year in news, the year in sports, the year in pop culture, and then also do a really nice job, I think, of reminding people of those we've lost over the past year. You know, the end of the year is a time when I think people like to sit back and reflect on everything that's happened. And, you know, maybe you don't have time to read a full newspaper every day or to watch the evening news every night even anymore. But we've got everything that happened in 2023 right in the World Almanac. You can do a little reflection, can see what you maybe missed when you were too busy, or you just didn't have time or didn't want to engage with the news. We've got it all covered right there in one place for you, easily accessible.
Well, Sarah, when we have books and people can Google things so much, I know that the Almanac is still a great seller. Tell me what makes the World Almanac so special and why there's still a need and a place to have a physical reference book.
Well, you know, I think for some people it is just an annual tradition. It's something that they've always had, and so they're used to being able to grab it and look it up, whatever they might have a question about when they're doing a crossword or something like that. But I also think that part of the reason that the World Almanac continues to be so successful is because I do think a lot of people are like me and are very curious about the world. The great thing about the World Almanac is that you can pick it up, flip to a random page, and get engaged and hopefully super interested in any possible section in there, whether it's, you know, tallest mountains or longest rivers or all of the facts on the economy of Suriname. We've got you covered on all of these different areas, and you can actually just, you know, find out something that you wouldn't have thought to type into that search bar, into that you know, Wikipedia page or search engine, you can get engaged in information that you wouldn't have thought to be interested in the first place. And then the great thing about the World Almanac is that we've got our sources listed right there on the page as well. So if you find something in there that you're curious about, you can actually go back to the source, go back to the original places where we got the information and find out even more. And that just continues the learning process, the curiosity process.
Yeah, and that's so important. I mean, especially as we mentioned, the internet, where you can't be sure of everything necessarily that you read, although some people do take it as gospel. It's probably better to have something that's cited and has a source. And that's what's great about here when you pick this up. And you're right, Sarah, there's so many different categories that just in the moments preparing for this interview, I was picking it up because it was on my desk again. And I said, well, I'm going to wait for, you know, Sarah to call into the show. And I'm looking through here and I just was thinking about just the most recent change in the House Speaker. And so I was looking at the list here, and you can go kind of back in time. And it's just kind of fascinating to see where we've been, you know, what parties were in control when, and the different people that have been speakers and repeat as speaker.
That historical perspective is something that the World Almanac is so good at in a bunch of different subjects, not just politics, but, you know, you've got all of the, you know, touchdown leaders and home run leaders over the course of their league's history, respectively. You know, these are the kinds of things that people just like to be able to reflect on, see in one place. Maybe they didn't think to look it up while they were watching a game or whatever, but, you know, it's nice to have it there. It's nice to be able to flip through and say, oh, I remember when that happened, or where was I then? I think that's another way that it's fun to engage with the World Almanac, just that sort of personal history that goes along with the framework of the factual history.
Mm, that's true, Sarah. Someday we look back, I remember the 2020s, and, you know, we can go back and remember those good old times, and everything that seems crazy now will seem quaint and nostalgic in some way, perhaps. So,
we'll be on to a new crisis by then, no doubt.
Yes, exactly. There's always something new to come along. So this is a great book. We want people to go and get it now. These are great gift ideas. Believe me, again, if you just want to have somebody that, you know, loves to just read and take in information, and as you said, just as curious, this would be perfect to get. So the World Almanac and Book of Facts 2024, it's out now. And Sarah Jansen, people can get it, what, in stores and online?
Yep, you can find the World Almanac wherever books are sold. We've got the larger hardcover size. We've got the paperback that probably most people are familiar with. And we've also got the ebook version. You can actually download it to your device and take it on the go in maybe a way that big hardcover doesn't travel so well.
All right. Sarah Jansen, editor of the World Almanac. Hey, sport, let me tell you about this pop star from the 2020s. Taylor Swift was her name. Well, she is in here as well. Sarah, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thank you so much for having me, and have a happy new year.
You too. Bye-bye. Time now on WATD for our Tech Talk segment here on the South Shore's Morning News. I'm Rob Hackelow with the morning team every week at this time. He joins us, David Snell, over at Act Smart IT in Wareham. David, good morning to you.
And good morning to you, Rob.
All right, so this week we're going to dive into a story about Microsoft hinting at some exciting Windows 12 developments. Okay, so fill us in here, David.
Yeah, so the rumors are flying like crazy with Windows 10 going away in 2025, Windows 11. We're not sure when that one's going away, but Microsoft wants to get the next greatest piece of software out there for all of us to use. So Windows 12 is codenamed, let's see here, Hudson Valley.
Hudson Valley.
Yeah, they always have some code name for their new ones before they name it. And the thing about, you know, we talked about this back when Windows 10 came out, that was going to be, or Microsoft said, that was going to be the last named operating system. But then they named it Windows 11, and now they're talking about Windows 12. But the rumor mill says that maybe it'll just be Windows AI, and that's going to be a big feature in Windows.
Well, I figure, yeah, because, I mean, we've got the Apple keeps making another number with a phone, so maybe they felt they had to keep up by just having numbers for things. So Windows 12, this could be the last number?
Yeah, it could be. The challenge with that is that if you don't change the name of the operating system and people own it, how will they know when their operating system is no longer supported? That's the challenge. So right now, Windows operating systems have a life cycle of 10 years. That's been everything that's been done by Microsoft since the beginning of their time. But at this point in time, they're talking about going to a 3-year life cycle for Windows computers, Windows, you know, home-based computers, and for servers, maintain the 10-year process. So, no, but if they go 3 years, that means every 3 years we'll have something new to look at and also something new for people to buy.
Okay. Well, I imagine that's exciting for Microsoft.
Absolutely.
Every 3 years, order something else. Okay. And it's probably not soon enough. Okay. So, all right. Now, you mentioned the Microsoft AI could be the name, I imagine, because we talked a lot about AI the last couple of segments here. So I guess what will Windows 12 look like and what will we experience?
Yeah, so with the talking about the AI, we talked about Copilot last week, which is an AI-based browser to help you do things on your computer and on the internet. So if they build that more into the operating system, they're going to give us a much more impressive process to work in. If you can speak to what you want to have done, or actually one of the rumors is that it will be able to judge what you're going to do next, which I'm not sure if that's good or not, and then help you do that, whether they're right or not. And that's my concern with that one. Secondly, we know they want to bring us faster updates and better security. So with that, they're going to split different sections of the operating system, and it'll be more effective for business users where there's more than one user on a computer. Mm-hmm. So for security reasons, they'll be able to only allow, say, David into one part of the hard drive and Rob into the other part, which segments them and helps make them more secure.
Oh, okay.
If David screws up, Rob's not going to be screwed up in his profile.
Oh, okay. Well, that could be that's a huge improvement, right?
Absolutely. It'll certainly help with security of the system. And then finally, they intend to make the Windows 12, quote-unquote, experience more modular, which means that what they're saying is that if you have a high-powered computer, you would be able to use all the features of the new Windows experience. If you have a lower power computer, then you would be able to do all the things that you need, but maybe not take advantage of all of the higher end tools. Okay. Which is interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. Okay. And so when will we have to make the switch? I mean, Windows 11 is still great and it's going, right?
Exactly. So the original release of Windows 11 was October of 2021, and they've yet to announce the full life cycle of Windows 11, so we're not sure if that's going to change for the every 3-year thing. But if it is, and our expectation is that Windows 12 will be released in October of 2024.
Okay. And again, it will have the ability to anticipate your next move.
Yeah, that's a scary thought.
It is, yeah. That sounds like something that you would not want to put into a self-driving car or military software. Where
yeah, and Hal,
I will decide.
Hal comes to mind, too. Do you remember Hal?
Oh, of course. Still, it's one of the best things about that movie, David. It really is. And
and we're getting there.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that movie's so ahead of its time in so many ways. But, yeah, that was great thinking about, you know, the program, and later on when they find why Hal malfunctioned because of humans writing programs. And, you know, the computer interprets it not the way you think it is all the time. So, yeah.
That's right. Even the AI isn't that smart to make the best decisions. So.
Yikes. Okay. Well, we're not there yet, so let's calm down. But this could be very soon in our lifetime. Definitely the AI will be part of it. So right now you're saying, though, if you haven't made the move to Windows 11, now's a good time?
Yeah, I suggest that everyone do that if the computer will handle it. If not, unfortunately, they should think about getting a new computer to be able to continue to move forward with technology.
All right. David Snell's got all the information here about the latest developments regarding Windows 12. I imagine they probably wouldn't go with a Windows 13, right? Would they skip that number?
That would be bad.
Yeah, Windows 13. No, I would imagine. But Windows 12, what's it all about? What are the features? And what can you look forward to? David, where can people go to read more?
People should go to xsmartit.com and click on my blog link and get all the cool stuff about what's coming, rumor-wise. None of it's confirmed.
This is just the latest here, what they're talking about. And David Snell's got the blog and xsmartit.com. David, thank you so much.
Thanks, Rob. Have a great day.
You too. David Snell, Tech Talk, xsmartit.com. xsmartit.com. And David is with us every week at this time on WATD. Time now on WATD for our Paws and Claws segment. We focus on the pet and animal world. Well, this week our special guest on the Paws and Claws segment is Tracy Plantier, who joins us now from Missing Dogs, Massachusetts. Tracy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Doing very well. Good to have you on the program today. And we're going to be talking about an online fundraiser. And also, we thought it would be a good idea to touch base with people about what the organization does and maybe kind of a status report on what maybe you've seen over the course of the year since we're just about ready to close out 2023. So, Missing Perfect. Dogs, Massachusetts, and we know we can find you guys online and, of course, social media. MissingDogsMass.com.
So, yeah, let's just talk about that fundraiser really quick. Folks can get on our website and under MissingDogsMass.com. There's a raffle going on to donate $10 per ticket, and there's prizes that are going to be announced on December 21st, which is a lot of scratch tickets and fun things like that. So that goes on to help the organization pay for expenses. We're an all-volunteer nonprofit, and we use the money to pay for equipment that we use to help with recovering lost dogs, which, you know, requires traps and cameras and a few other things. So that's where the money goes. Everyone's a volunteer in the organization. And, and support us and volunteer. We love to bring on new volunteers.
Now, for the fundraiser, you go to missingdogsmass.com/donate, it says?
Correct.
Okay, missingdogsmass.com/donate if you want to get in on this raffle, because it looks like there's a lot of different prizes. And as Tracy mentioned, this all goes to benefit an all-volunteer organization here that they have.
Right. And so what we do is we are all experienced and trained in the strategies to recover lost dogs. So we help folks that have lost their dogs. They just have to get in contact with us again, mostly by the website, filling out a lost dog form. You can also call in, but, you know, the process is normally to just fill out that form. And as soon as that form is filled out, you're going to get a reply email that explains the first steps, but you're also going to get a person assigned to you that's going to call you and walk you through those steps and make sure you have support in recovering your dog. And what we've seen this year is a lot of lost dogs. Oh. We have a lot of work that we're constantly working on for getting dogs home. And while we're at that, I just want to mention there is a lost dog in the South Shore area, Sammy, that was lost September 29th. She's a shepherd mix, 40 pounds and 4 years old. And love for folks, if they see any loose dog, anytime you see a loose dog, call your local authorities, because most likely the owners of that dog have already called local authorities to say their dog is gone. And owners are desperate for those sightings to know that their dog is still safe, still, you know, running around, and have the most immediate information of the location of where they see that lost dog.
All right. Do we have anything for Sammy as far as a town or?
Weymouth. It was Weymouth, Mass, okay. where they were lost from. And so the other thing I was just going to cover is just, you know, we are around the holidays. Holidays tend to be a time when families come out of their normal everyday routines, very busy, exciting, cue, stressful. Well, your dogs and your pets are picking up on all those changes as well. And so they actually become more vulnerable to an increase in flight risk. So we'd like everyone being more expecting that this is a time when that stress also affects our pets, and that we need to take extra precautions with our pets, whether we're traveling with our pets, whether we're hosting guests or visiting guests, families with our pets, or whether we actually have left our pet home with a pet sitter. We need to all take extra precautions with our pets.
Now, missingdogsmass.com is the website, and Tracy is with us from Missing Dogs Massachusetts, and so we're talking about missing dogs, and unfortunately, we're still seeing those numbers. Now, Tracy, would you encourage people? I mean, would it be easier, obviously, to have like a chip technology or tracking? Is it the goal someday that we won't have missing dogs by this kind of technology?
You know what? Technology is helping, but there is actually no perfect scenario, unfortunately. I just worked on a case this weekend of a missing dog with a GPS tracker, which GPS is really the most close technology that helps with lost dogs. It's the best. But there's still flaws, because we had a location on this dog. And even though we had a location, most dogs go into what we call survival mode, where they are frightened of people, frightened of loud noises. So even with a location, we were not able to recover that dog by just us going to the location and setting up a humane trap for that dog. Mm-hmm. The dog did end up returning home on their own, which dogs do. That's a good thing about dogs. A lot of times they do return on their own. So we lucked out. But technology does help, but it's not a perfect solution. So even with that, and the technology sometimes, unfortunately, can put people into sort of a lull that, you know, that's just going to solve the problem. But, you know, I'm definitely here to tell you that technology can assist and help, but it's not going to bring your dog home. It helps. It assists, but it won't bring your dog home.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we're still taking all the precautions that we normally take, and we want to make sure that, you know, we have a plan in place if we lose our dog. And especially, again, if you have a pet sitter, either that's a family member, a friend, or a professional pet sitter, you want to have a plan in place in case your dog is lost. And one of those things on the plan should be to get in touch with Missing Dogs Massachusetts.
All right, missingdogsmass.com. We covered a lot of ground. You can go to the website to find out more. We talked about the holiday lottery raffle to benefit Missing Dogs in Massachusetts. You'll see a very cute photo there. Is I'm on Facebook now. Is that a pug, or it's got a little hat on?
I think that is.
It says please donate, and how could you not when you see that dog's face? But missingdogsmass.com, and you can learn more about the organization, because when you do need, it's good to know that there's a group like this available. And also, you might be looking to volunteer, And so go to the website to find out more, missingdogsmass.com. And Tracy Plantier has been with us this morning as our special guest for Paws and Claws. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
In our co-host chair today, sitting in, Taylor Harris.
Hi, good morning. No snow on the ground. That doesn't seem like the ground is going to be cold enough for a white Christmas.
Well, yeah, I guess, you know? We'll have to see. I don't know. We're coming down the line here. You guys typically, do you like the white Christmas?
I think most
people would probably like it, right? I can't imagine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody would say, nah, I don't like it.
No, my favorite snow story is nice light snow on Christmas Eve after, you know, everybody's inside so there's no driving involved.
Okay.
And then falling gently, and then a beautiful Christmas, calm, beautiful, snowy day, and then that's enough for me.
Yeah, it's kind of perfect.
Yeah, yeah, it really, because it's perfect for the mood, it sets the scene, but you're right, you want it to come after everybody is safe at home. Santa obviously loves the snow, so that's fine for him.
Great.
And the reindeer.
Yep. They love it. That's their natural habitat.
You enjoy, you open up presents, and then the snow can melt in January.
Right.
Pretty much. Yeah. That's it, right?
That would be great.
Ideally. Ideally, New Year's Eve, start melting.
Yep. Usually it's the opposite, though, and Christmas tends to not be white, and then all that snow comes in January and February.
Yeah, and put some freezing rain on a Monday morning when you're driving to work.
Yeah. I mean, I know people do the fake snow for the, you know, on their lawns and stuff, that if they're really, really dedicated to the decorations, they'll
do.
I've seen people do the...
What is it? What is this? Do you put it all over the place?
Well, you spray it on the ground. It just kind of makes the grass look white and stuff. So, it's for people who are really committed to their their decorations.
Oh, wow. I don't know if I've really seen it up close. Would I just use white spray paint? Would I just go around like I'm making lines in the football field? Or
no,
is it something?
It's something else. It's lumpier.
It's a substance. It's a substance. You know, they used to use, like in It's a Wonderful Life, for fake snow, they used to use asbestos. So those actors were having asbestos.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Call Feinstein and for Lizzie. There's a lawsuit right there.
Yeah.
Same in Wizard of Oz when she's in the poppy field. That's asbestos falling down on her.
They used that for everything, didn't they? They thought it was magical.
They
in the
really
beginning,
thought
right?
it was a great idea.
Let's eat it. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, because it was in, you know, I don't know. I feel like, you know, any kind of insulation or, you know, even in schools, you know, put it around the pipes. Let's get some asbestos in there.
Yeah, that's the, but that is what they used. So I'm absolutely certain that the fake snow now is not asbestos, but
no, I'm pretty sure
there are people who do
probably
it.
Like silly string or something.
It's
very safe. You can eat it.
I don't think so. Oh, okay. I don't think that's a good idea.
Maybe not that safe. But I don't know. Does anybody use that or
I saw
have
it
you seen it?
I saw it in California.
Yeah,
it was funny. I just saw that movie. On Netflix, Candy Cane Lane. I was laughing because when my brother lived out in Venice, California, he lived down the street from a street called Candy Cane Lane.
Candy Cane Lane.
Every house on that street was like, I mean, California.
Committed to it.
Yes. California is over the top anyway with everything they do.
That's
true. You know, Bart Simpson inflatable on the roof with Christmas lights. But one of the houses specifically had like little electric skaters on a glass or mirror pond, and they had some of that, whatever that stuff is.
Yeah, the fake snow.
Might have been asbestos.
Oh,
no.
Wow.
Well, listen, Hollywood, what are you going to do? But I just, that makes sense that warmer places are doing the fake snow before
here,
New England.
Because there's always a shot we're going to get plenty of regular stuff,
right.
So why would I invest in fake snow?
I don't know. Well, because you don't live on Candy Cane Lane.
Now, that's the new movie.
I saw it with Eddie Murphy.
It keeps telling me to watch it, but I keep passing. I don't know.
It's not that good.
Okay. No, but I thank you for being honest, because there's only so many holiday movies.
There's a couple of cute moments in it, but it's just, I don't know.
And Eddie Murphy, they're making a new Beverly Hills Cop 4 is coming out.
That I would see that.
Yeah.
Okay, Candy Cane Lane, but you can watch if you're doing something else at the same time.
Okay.
So in other words, you don't have to pay attention. If you're writing Christmas cards and you're worried about missing the plot, you know, don't worry, because it's just like
Candy
background.
Cane Lane. I like to watch some movies. I like to really get into them, the Christmas movies.
Mm-hmm. Like Elf.
It's good to have things that, like, when you're I find that if you're cooking a Christmas dinner or a big meal, whatever it is, you got a Hallmark Christmas movie on in the background. You know how that's going to go. So you don't have to pay that close attention, because you know the big city girl is going to fall in love with that small town tree farmer or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's those are an easy watch.
He'll have day old stubble.
Yes,
he'll be very attractive. Mm-hmm. They might have had a little bit of some fireworks, some sparks at the beginning because they were fighting about something, but in a nice, respectful way.
Exactly. She accidentally hit his car.
Right, and then dropped a pie on his head.
Yes.
I could write this movie.
You could.
So could you.
We could. We all could.
And someone like Dan McCready shows up in a flannel plaid shirt, and he's the best friend.
Yes.
Is that right?
The best friend who, and I love my friends, but they are not the Hallmark movie friends who seem so fully committed to making sure the big city girl ends up with that dude.
Pretty much.
Like, you don't know what their occupation is. You don't know where that friend lives. You just know.
They're a flannel influencer.
That they are. They're a flannel influencer
whose
sole commitment is making sure the big city girl ends up with the tree farmer.
I like it.
Yeah, let's write this movie.
That's what you should watch.
They are all the same, but there is something very satisfying about. And there's often, like, he'll have a kooky mom, right? There's usually sort of a kooky maternal figure. So it's the same kind of story and characters. But for whatever reason, it is very satisfying around Christmas time to watch those two strangers fall in love.
Well, no, obviously it works, or else they wouldn't. I mean, it's like... you know, they just keep cranking these things out.
Yeah,
right?
You can watch it while your own family's having an argument about something. So it'll be great.
Correct.
Yeah.
And you just are going, I would love to be that best friend in the small town in Maine whose only problem right now is setting up.
Because I saw Winnie Cooper from Wonder Years is doing, she's really been busy doing that a lot.
You can watch her fall in love with a lumberjack. You can watch, it's just great. But yeah, and she's usually, you're going to see her in the beginning of the movie. She's going to be toddling around on big, I work in New York City heels. wheels.
Yes.
And there's going to be snow on the ground and ice. And so she's going to be in her like power suit falling down in the snow. And the lumberjack's going to
come. And then you find out later he makes a mean pancake.
Yes. Right. Oh, wow. Well, because he's a single father oftentimes.
So the kids are just adorable.
The kids are adorable. And the kids are always super pro that relationship, which is really fun.
No kid is, you know, throwing up on the sofa or yelling at people.
Or like, I don't want you to date my dad. None of that. It's all just like, let's set up dad with the lady who just fell down in the snow.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. As always, you can find us on your radio at 95.9 FM, mornings from 5 to 10, or online at 959WATD.com.
And you can catch up with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can get the links at 959WATD.com/SS Morning News. And join us next week for another edition of the South Shore's Morning News Week in Review.